because you are watching a master at work.
By the way, did you use the sauna today?
No, I checked and both the sauna and the steam room were down.
Right. So I went in. Originally, the guy told me, he said the steam room was up. So I played a little basketball because Friday I usually don't lift weights. So
yep.
Played a little basketball and he said, oh, the steam room's fixed. So I'm like, oh, let me cut this short and let me go. The button wouldn't even
work. Yeah, I tried to turn it on and there was nothing.
Oh, man.
And the dry sauna wasn't working either.
Yeah, so I have to figure something out because...
Yeah, I know. That's one of the best parts of the workout.
That's what I come for. I actually wake up that early for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Welcome to the My Hypothesis Podcast. I'm your host, Kevlar386. Today, we have a special guest, sports writer out of the Boulder Daily Camera, 14 years from 1981 to 1995. And sports copy editor for 5 years out of the Denver Post, Mike Judson.
Hi there. How are you doing, Kevin?
All right. How you feeling?
I'm doing great. And still feeling the afterglow of the Nuggets' first NBA championship.
Oh, man. We're going to get into that. I almost wore my Lakers hat, but I was like, you know what? Not today. Not today. So what we're going to do, we're going to start off like all the way from the beginning. So... for those of you who don't know, he's a sports writer out of Colorado. Denver Nuggets just won the championship, icing on the top, of course. But a person like myself who's never been to Colorado besides maybe like an hour layover, like I said, when I was flying from Florida to California. Mm-hmm. Tell somebody, like, what is Colorado like? How would you describe Colorado?
Well, I grew up there, so it was all I really knew except for visiting other places. Colorado's high and dry compared to most of the United States. It doesn't rain very much. And the high elevation, the air sometimes feels like all the water's been freeze dried right out of it. But great place to grow up. And it started, it got better and better sports wise the longer I was there. As a kid, the Denver Broncos were in the old AFL. And they were the only real show in town. In 1967, the Denver Rockets, which is the same franchise as the Nuggets. Started up with the American Basketball Association, the ABA. And then later, the Colorado Rockies hockey team, which eventually became the New Jersey Devils, was there for a few years and then left. The next group of Rockies came in 1993. That's the current Colorado Rockies baseball team. Yeah. And a few years after that, the Avalanche came in, moved in from Quebec, where they were the Quebec Nordiques, and they won the Stanley Cup the first year. And so it became a four big sport town, but it wasn't like that for most of the time when I was growing up.
I remember when I was a kid, because I grew up in the 90s. I remember that Broncos team, man. I just remember my uncle, and we were in Florida. So my uncle, he was a crazy John Elway, Terrell Davis fan.
Yeah.
Grew up watching that. So in Florida, we call Florida people Floridians. How would you describe, what would you call someone from Colorado?
Well, so a lot of people get this wrong. A lot of people say they're Coloradoans. They are, in fact, Coloradans. The Coloradoan is a newspaper in Fort Collins, which coincidentally is where I grew up. But the proper way to refer to somebody from my home state is a Coloradan. And I now, of course, as you know, live in Florida. And I love it here, too.
So let's get into food. So you know how like Maine is known for lobster. You have Tennessee, probably known for spice. The Carolinas, barbecue. What would you say would be like a food staple for Colorado?
Well, the beef industry is big. There's lots of cattle there, and there's a lot of different kinds of beef. And there's a kind of beef that kind of sounds like seafood, in fact, called Rocky Mountain oysters. And I mention it because back in the day at Denver Broncos games at Old Mile High Stadium, they would serve Rocky Mountain oysters to the visiting press. And the joke would be is you get the visitors to eat them, and then you tell them what they really are. Yeah, well, they're a part of the beef that comes from the bull, not from the cow, and you can use your imagination from there. But, so they're not really seafood.
Oh, I get you. Oh man, how did they respond once they figured out what it was?
Usually not positively, but it was pretty funny. I mean, they basically taste like kind of a slightly tougher, saltier chicken. But okay. Yeah, they're okay. They're not really a food you seek out. They're something you try like a delicacy, once in a while.
Like a delicacy or something like that.
Yeah. And there's a place famous for them. As I told you, I grew up in Fort Collins, and about 15, 20 miles east of town was at the time a very little town called Severance. And it was known for goose hunting. And they had a bar there called Bruce's Bar. And on the side of the bar, to this day, they have a sign that says Severance, where the geese fly and the bulls cry. And they're famous for serving Rocky Mountain oysters at Bruce's Bar in Severance, which that area is no longer tiny and sparse. They actually have they won the state title in baseball in Class 4A. The idea 30 years ago that little place would even have a large high school was seemed crazy at the time. But Colorado has been a very fast growing state for decades now.
So earlier I mentioned I had an hour layover in the Denver airport. Now at the time, I didn't know any of this because I had he's maybe 2 years old at the time, my son. It was just me and him. So I'm all tunnel vision looking for my terminals. You know, I'm just trying to make sure I get everything right. Looking for the bathrooms because we have to change him, have to feed him. So it's a lot going on all at once that I didn't have time to sit down and actually, well, the airport is huge too. It's the biggest airport in America. Yep. But fast forward, I'm starting to see videos all over the internet about all the conspiracies of the airport. Something about they went $3 million over budget. They have the murals of like the painting murals all over the wall of like pure destruction of like kids, fires, burnings, and looks like Nazi masks. I don't know what it is. The talking gargoyles, which is crazy because I just figured that one out previously before I talked to you. And then the famous of them all, the Blucifer statue, the horse, the tall blue stallion that the architect died while designing it. Do you know about any of those conspiracies? And if so, like, can you tell me about any of them?
Well, I mean, the Blucifer is pretty well known, and it is true that the guy who designed the horse, the statue kind of collapsed and came down on top of him and killed him. I don't know about some of the other stuff you mentioned. I think there's probably some fact and fiction mixed in there. There was a lot of talk when they built the airport, and that was over 25 years ago now. So that most of that talk was at the time. It's a very big airport, and it just because of the location, it connects a lot of flights, and that's the reason for the busyness of the place. I know they have sometimes a real big problem with lines for people going through security on their way to going someplace else. From Denver especially, and sometimes those lines can stretch up to an hour long. And so they recommend, and they mean it, to get there 2.5 hours before your flight, because it can't take a really long time to get through the TSA. It's a big, beautiful place too, and it serves a lot of people. And I even remember some people in the newspaper industry writing back in the 90s that Denver didn't need a new airport, that old Stapleton was plenty big and good enough to handle it all. And that quickly became proved wrong. The big airport was absolutely a necessity. And I imagine it will only continue to grow over time.
Right. So have you ever seen, so about the statue, does it look freaky in person? Because I've never seen it. Is it?
It's kind of scary looking. I think it is blue. And the reason that people started calling it Blucifer was the color mixed with the name for the devil, Lucifer, because it killed the one guy. It's kind of a scary looking horse. It's tall and blue, and it has red eyes. And when you drive in there at night, they glow. And it,
oh man, it, no, thank you.
It doesn't really look friendly. It looks mean. And so, yeah. It's very noticeable. Let's just say that.
So apparently they have a time capsule that they buried in 94, but you can't open it until 2094. They buried it in 1994. You can't open it until 2094. Apparently, this may have all the answers. Who knows?
Yep. Well, that, you know, I don't think, you know, I know I won't be around there. And Kevin, you're younger than I am, but I don't think you will either.
I found the fountain of youth. Don't count me out, man. Let's get into actually sports writing and sports copy editor.
Sure.
What exactly is it? Like, what exactly is a sports writer? Is it like exactly how the name sounds, and what is a sports copy editor?
Yeah, it's a sports writer is a reporter who works for a newspaper and concentrates on sports. And I was privileged to do that for the better part of 15 years at the Daily Camera in Boulder, which is where I went to college at the University of Colorado.
Nice.
I got to cover everything from the Broncos on down to Little League, and my heart of hearts was covering high schools. I enjoyed doing that more than anything else, but I got to do a little bit of everything there, and it was a great place to work. And then after that, I moved on to becoming a copy editor, which at the Denver Post, and had 25 great years there, and that is basically editing other people's stories and writing headlines. So put them together, and I got to do work in sports journalism in the newspapers for 40 years, which is a nice career, and I'm really thankful for my time at both of those places.
Absolutely, man. What would you say would be your favorite sport to cover, and why?
It seemed like it would vary from season to season, but football and baseball were probably my two favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to cover the Nuggets very often because we had different beat writers who covered them. And I was so busy covering high school basketball and wrestling during that season that I rarely had the chance to go out and see the big club in the NBA. I loved football, the University of Colorado. I helped cover CU football. I was not the beat writer, but I helped cover the Buffs, and they won a national championship when I was there in 1990. It was a great experience to be able to cover them. Bill McCartney was the head coach, and Eric Bieniemy was the star All-America tailback, and Darian Hagan was the quarterback, and they had a lot of great players on both sides of the ball. Alfred Williams, who's a talk show host in Denver, and was perhaps the best defensive player CU ever had. He was a outside linebacker and a dominant player who won a bunch of awards and was a first team All-American too. But they were a lot of fun to cover, and that was very memorable as well. As I mentioned, the Rockies came to town in 1993, and it was a lot of fun to cover Major League Baseball. Even though they weren't very good, they were still a lot of fun to cover. And I covered for many years. I covered high schools and American Legion ball, and got to see a few kids who went on to the major leagues. But that was a big part of what I did there too.
You have a lot of history with you that you downplay. You always say, "Oh, this is going to be a boring one," but you have a lot of you have a lot of history. You're sneaky.
You're
sneaky.
Well, I'll drop a few names from time to time to try to wake people up.
Yeah, you woke me up with the Eric Bieniemy. I was like, "Oh, I know that one."
Yeah.
So back to the Buffalo. Now you have Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, as your head coach.
Yes.
He has all his transfer. A lot of the kids came over from Jackson State. Now they're coming to the Buffalo. Pretty much, what do you expect from Deion Sanders transferring and coming over to your location?
It's a seismic change in CU football. As of a year ago, a lot of people who follow the Buffs were almost ready to give up. They looked like they had no chance to even compete at the level that they were. And part of the reason is they had restrictions on their transfer portal that almost nobody else did. And almost at the same time, and probably related to each other, unbelievably, I remember hearing that Deion Sanders was in the mix and thinking, oh, there's no way. There's no way Sanders is going to get Sanders. And then that started, you know, that rumor didn't go away. It started gaining legs. And about the same time, and I'm sure Coach Prime knew all about the transfer portal problems and probably would not have come to see you if they didn't fix it. But they did fix it. So now they're on level recruiting ground, finally, with the teams they play. And as you've read, I'm sure, they're bringing in an incredible number of new players in 1 year. There's something like 70. I believe only 10 scholarship players remain from last year's team. And making this possible are the new rules. The transfer portal and related to that, the name, image, and likeness changes that have swept through college football. A year ago, CU was the biggest loser in the transfer portal. They had their best players all left under the previous coaching regime. And the problem was they couldn't bring in good players to replace them because of the restrictions they had on getting people in to school through the transfer portal. Well, now they fixed that. And there's certainly a lot more talent on the team going into this season than there has been in quite a while. Travis Hunter was the nation's top recruit 2 years ago. Kermont Lane is the nation's top cornerback this year. Both those guys are five-star athletes. To even suggest a year ago that CU would be in the picture to recruit five-star athletes, you'd be insane to think that because they had no chance. But now with Deion Sanders, they're recruiting great players. I personally think that it's going to be almost impossible to take this many players who've never played together, and at a lot of them weren't even here, weren't even on the team in spring ball. It's going to be really tough for Deion to mold a competitive team right out of the chute. And they start. Their first game is at TCU, which was in the national championship game last year. After that, they play Nebraska. After that, they play a rival down the road from my old hometown, Fort Collins, Colorado State. And Colorado State, loves nothing better than to beat the Buffs. They haven't done it in almost 10 years. But you better believe they have designs on sticking it to Coach Prime and the gang. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a tough year. If they managed to win 6 games this year, that would be astonishing. But keep in mind, they only won 1 a year ago, and they were probably pretty lucky to beat Cal. But I think that in 2024, the second year that that Deion is the head coach, they'll be a good team and maybe even contend for the new 12-team college football playoff because it expands that year. At least that's the hope of Colorado football fans. But they are bringing in talent like they haven't really since Bill McCartney was in his heyday in the 1990s. So speaking for CU fans, the impossible has happened. And there was no hope. Now there is hope. And Coach Prime is the reason for it.
Couldn't have said it better. Now, I noticed because before earlier when we had the screen on, I couldn't really see your hat. I knew you had a hat on, but I couldn't read it. So now that I read it, the Denver Nuggets as the 2023 NBA champions. That doesn't even sound right to me. That is.
It's amazing. And about the hat, this is not a 2023 hat.
Absolutely
this is about
not.
It's about a 20-year-old hat. And it's at least two previous logos ago. But I, for some reason, kept it around and finally had used to wear it. And I wear it pretty often these days. in honor of the NBA champions. So it was something to see. And Denver has won three Super Bowls now with the Broncos, three Stanley Cups with the Avalanche. The Rockies got to the 2007 World Series, did not win, but they did get there. And now, finally, after all these years, the Denver Nuggets not only got to the NBA Finals, but won it in five games. And they went 16-4 in the playoffs. So they were very dominant throughout the entire time. The Suns beat them twice, but they were the closest thing to being competitive against the Nuggets in the postseason this year. So people are in Colorado are very excited about the Nuggets, and they have the foundation to stay good for a little while in the future too. So it's a pretty cool thing because the Nuggets have been okay some years, but never really a threat to do what they just did.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest, because I watched in the bubble. They were good in the bubble too, you know. I feel like if they had home court advantage, it would have helped them out a lot more in the bubble instead of everything neutralized, because the altitude definitely helps out Denver, as we can see when people go into Denver.
Oh, sure. And in the bubble, that's when Jamal Murray, of course, really came of age. And oh,
yes, he did.
I mean, people knew he was good, but they didn't know until then how good he could be. Of course, unfortunately, he got hurt and he had to sit out for a year plus. He worked hard, and they can do things in surgery now that they couldn't 25 years ago. I'm kind of going on a tangent here, but there was a great player a generation ago named LaPhonso Ellis, who came to the Nuggets out of Notre Dame. He blew out a knee, and he was never the same guy. If they had the same kind of medical knowledge now that they did then, I'm sure LaPhonso Ellis could have come back and been a great player. Well, Jamal Murray was able to come back and be a great player again. And he's a heck of a Robin to Nikola Jokic's Batman. Those are two great players, and they play very well together with a two-man game. And they're as good at the give and go as anybody since maybe Stockton and Malone. And they have some other nice pieces to the team as well. But those are the two stars. And as you know, basketball is a game of stars.
I like most about basketball now is that it's back to a two-man game, because, you know, for a while it was always the super teams and the three teams, the
yes.
three superstars, the three max players. Oh, you need three max players to win a chip. And it's like, I'm glad it is back to the two-man game, and they won for that reason, so people can see that it can happen. You know what I mean? That we don't have to step away from it.
Sure. Yeah, so no doubt.
That's what I enjoy most about it. Even though I am from Florida, I enjoy most about that as far as like advancing the game, that you go back to the two-man. Because I like more competitive. I like going into the season not knowing who's going to win the title.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole purpose of it.
Oh, yeah. I think it'll stay like that. I don't foresee – I think it's going to be really hard for there to be a run even like what the Warriors did for a few years, because there are so many teams that are right there that it's going to be awfully hard to win multiple championships in a row. But that should make for, you know, really good – sports viewing for fans, because a lot of teams are going to have a chance.
So with that said, Nuggets just won, you're coming off your first title. Can you see them repeating next year?
I mean, they have a chance. They have the player who I think is the best guy in the game right now in Jokic.
Absolutely. I agree.
And he's so different from anybody else. He's basically a point center. Who they set him up at the top of the key and let him run the show. And he's a great passer, maybe the best passing big man ever. And he does a lot of other things well, of course, too. He's extremely efficient, probably the most efficient scorer in the game in the paint. And he's 28 years old. So barring injury, the Nuggets could stay good for a long time to come. And it was interesting to me yesterday to watch the draft. The Nuggets, for the first time in their history, and they've been around, like I said, since 1967, mm-hmm. they didn't pick players for the future. Now that they have their team and their window, they pick guys to help them now. They picked they had three, they brought in three guys, none of them super high picks, mm-hmm. but it's noteworthy their ages, because the one and done guys are typically 19 years old.
Right.
You know, the incredible talented player from France is 19 years old. The foreign kids who come in are young. The Nuggets drafted two 23 year olds and a 21 year old. Clearly they want these guys, you know, they're not going to start, but they're expecting these guys to help as off the bench pieces. Mm-hmm. And right now they're not going to be training them for years down the road.
Yeah. That's actually a great point too. When you draft that high up, you're looking for people that you can pretty much fit with the pieces that you currently have.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what they did. They brought in a kid from Gonzaga who is a very good 3-point shooter, and a point guard from Penn State who does a combo guard who does a lot of things, and a 4'6" 8" guy from Clemson who also is a 3-point shooter. So they want guys who can shoot, and they want guys who can fill roles right now, not next year or 5 years from now, but right now, because you know their window is now open. And in the NBA and in any sport, when you have a championship window, it can close faster than you think.
Oh, yeah.
And they mean to win now and make the best of what they have and build on Jokic and Murray and you know, Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon are very good starters, complementary pieces too. Mm-hmm. But you need some guys to come off the bench and help, and that's what they're doing. They want to intend to win it again next year. So we'll see.
So speaking of coming off the bench, Bruce Brown, do you think you're going to re-sign him?
I doubt it. And I don't blame him. He's going to make a lot more money going somewhere else. They can't afford to give him the money he'll get somewhere else. And so I think one of the writers at the Denver Gazette this morning, his lead was, Bruce, go get your bag. You know, I think he will, and I think he should. This is his chance. It's possible that he might prefer playing for a championship team than making money. But I don't know how do you let's say you're married and have kids. How do you tell your family, I had a chance to set up stuff for life, but I decided to play on a winning team instead?
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. I left $40 million on the table, but I'm exactly a winner.
So I mean, Bruce Brown will do what Bruce Brown wants to do, but I think he's gone.
Yeah, I saw the parade, man. I saw Mike Malone. Oh, he was feeling himself. I saw Mike Malone. He had his chains on. I saw Bruce Brown. Even Mike Malone said, "Oh, we're bringing him back." But you know, you have to tell the fans what you want to tell them, at least for now. But
yeah,
it's really up to Bruce.
And it's at least possible that Coach Malone had a brew or two in him.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
and got kind of frisky talking, just a little bit.
Yeah, I saw the city in the uproar. I saw how I never know really how, because for the most part they always show like Boston as fans. I saw Colorado, I saw in Denver, they were on top of the what was the traffic light. He was doing like pull-ups on top of the traffic light and people were catching him. Was the city like in an uproar and stuff like that? How was they responding? Like,
well, again, I'm not there anymore, so I can just read about it and see the same clips that you have. But I read both Denver newspapers every day. I read every story that every reporter writes, so I still am plugged in that way. Not as a guy who's right in the middle of it anymore, they have a parade route and they go from one side of town, which is called Lodo, which is near Coors Field, to the other side, which is near the Capitol building itself. They follow basically this parade route. So we've seen it before with the Broncos and the Avalanche, and it's nice to see it with the Nuggets too. But I think, the estimates the city of Denver said were 750,000 people came. So it was a nice big crowd to welcome home the NBA champions.
Jokic and Carmelo Anthony, they both share the number 15. Carmelo just retired. We know Jokic's jerseys, if he stopped playing today, his number's getting retired.
Sure.
Do you think they should retire both jerseys in the Raptors, or do you think they should just keep one jersey up, retire Jokic?
Oh, both. I mean, Carmelo was an incredible player for the time that he was with the Nuggets. They went from terrible to a perennial playoff team. Now they didn't get to the NBA Finals with him there, but they didn't have enough of a supporting cast to help him out. But Carmelo is one of the best offensive players in the history of the game, and he was a great player for the Denver Nuggets for a long time. He certainly deserves to have his number retired.
I agree. So before I let you go, let me know your top five. It doesn't have to be, it could be positionless, your top five Denver Nuggets of all time. And let me know your favorite team out of Colorado all time.
Okay. Those are two tough questions. For top five Nuggets, Jokic is an automatic on there. So is Carmelo. David Thompson, who was a great, great player, led North Carolina State to a national championship against Bill Walton in the 1970s, and was a fabulous. He was kind of the prototype of what Michael Jordan became.
Oh yeah,
fabulous player, and he's on my top five. There was a guy who was there for only 1 year who was on my all time top five. His name was Spencer Haywood, and he's in the Basketball Hall of Fame too. Came out of Pershing High School in Detroit, and as a 19-year-old, I believe, led the U.S. to the Olympic gold medal in 1968. And he played at Detroit Mercy for a year and came out early. He played for the 1969-70 Nuggets, and that was, he was a rookie, 20 years old, and here are his numbers. He averaged 30 points a game and 19.5 rebounds a game. That's how good he was.
I never hear about him.
Yeah. And he, then went to the NBA and had a very productive years there too, but he's in the Hall of Fame. He gets my number four slot, for, greatest Nuggets. Since we're not going position by position, I'm going to go with Dan Issel, for number five. He, a great player, also in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Jamal Murray, ask me again in a couple of years, and he might take one of those guys' places, because he's right up there too. And I mean, maybe I'd even divide my fifth pick between Issel and Jabal right now. Those would be my favorite, my top five Rockets/Nuggets of all time, since they were called the Rockets up until fall of 1974. And then there was another team in the NBA that of course, the Houston Rockets at the time. And they decided to that they didn't want Rockets in both leagues. So they changed to the Nuggets. And that first year under new coach Larry Brown, they won 65 games. So they were pretty good. Mm-hmm. But despite winning 65 games, they didn't make it to the ABA Finals that year. They did the next year. Which was last year at the ABA, and lost to Dr. J and the New York Nets in the finals in six games. You asked me my favorite team. Do you mean sports or basketball or?
So before we get into that, I noticed someone that was left off your list. So I want to ask you, maybe, what about Alex English?
Oh my goodness, I left Alex English off the list. Oh, that's an oversight. I'd have to I'd have to get. You know what? I'm gonna bump Dan Issel to co-sixth man with Jamal, and I'm putting Alex on there now.
Okay.
Thank match, because he has to be on there. I'm getting old and forgetful, and I forgot to put Alex English on the team, but he certainly is on the top five too.
Now, when it comes to the question, the second half of the question, any team, any sport, all time, what would be, you would say, your favorite team to cover? Like, for instance, I'm from Florida.
Yep.
This is going to sound, because I like the Baltimore Ravens is my favorite NFL team. No matter if they trade this player, I stick with I like the Baltimore Ravens. That's probably my favorite team out of all of the teams that I like out of every sport. So
yeah, that's such a hard question for a sports guy, because you have so many of them. The 1990 CU football national championship team is right up there. The 1977 Broncos, who had never been to the playoffs before, went to the Super Bowl that year, got beat by the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. They're in the conversation. The 1997 Broncos, who finally won it, are in the conversation. The 2001 Avs, who won the Stanley Cup for the second time, they're in there. The Nuggets, who just got done playing, are way up there.
Oh yeah.
But I'm going to go old school. And when you're a kid, the first team you root for that wins it all, it's hard to beat that. So I'm going with the 1967 St. Louis Cardinals baseball team. My dad was a Cardinals fan, so I became a Cardinals fan. Mm-hmm. And we decided we figured out that we could hear the Cardinals play every night when the sun went down in Fort Collins, Colorado on KMOX, mm-hmm. 1120 AM St. Louis. And we listened to Harry Carey and Jack Buck on the radio every night. And the Cardinals won the World Series that year with Bob Gibson winning three games as a starting pitcher in the World Series. And Lou Brock was the Hall of Fame player who was the prolific base stealer. Bob Gibson and Lou Brock were my first two favorite players. And so I can still go up and down the lineup and tell you every member of the 1967 Cardinals by position. So I'm going to go with my first love, and that was the Redbirds in 1967.
yeah, you threw me off with that one. That's the last you walked me right down. All right, Mike, I appreciate you for your time. I'll see you around. I'll see you at the gym. We'll chat and everything. Thank you for your time, for coming on and being on the My Hypothesis podcast.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks, Kevin.
I never seen the image more clearer. I never felt the end more nearer. I can finally see myself in the mirror. I can finally see myself in the mirror. Reach for the stars, little Jody, so you can land on a cloud.